Well, we said we would, so we are.
I want my time back.
Here's the thing. Going into watching... No, let's... Hello and welcome to the Movie Men Podcast.
We're unfortunately the B team today.
That's Carl.
That's Brady.
And as you can tell by the thumbnail and the title of the episode, we're here reviewing Madam Web.
If you haven't heard already, it sucks.
Well, here's... Look. So we'll do it. Let's do some initial impressions. Okay.
In your impressions, because our intake of this was different prior to watching it in terms of content about it. So just kind of what you've seen
I had obviously I'd seen the trailers and I'd heard we'd reported on the news about it. Like I was well versed in the production of it and stuff like that. Yeah. We had talked about it coming out on the news show.
Yeah.
And I had watched one or two non-spoiler reviews. So I knew very little of the plot or the details of the film going into it. I just knew that the general consensus was that it was not good.
Yeah.
Now, so my perception going in was that it probably wasn't going to be very good.
It was going to be bad.
Having watched it, I think a more accurate description of how I feel is what a piece of shit. not only is this film like confusingly bad, like not just like not good. It's not, you know, this film makes Ant-Man 3 look like a great film.
Oh yeah.
Like this is like direct to DVD Spy Kids sequel kind of territory bad. The acting is horrible.
It's like feels like a B movie.
The acting is horrible. The story is kind of all over the place, but also really kind of not even there at the same time. Excuse me. And ultimately I'm left asking the question, has Sony given up? Have they just given up? Like, are they trying?
Yeah.
Because it... Listen, I could understand this film. I could understand it existing and it being made and it even being made as poorly as it has been made if we hadn't just gotten Morbius and two Venom movies and we didn't have a Venom movie and a Kraven movie on the way. If we had not gotten a film in 4.5 years and this was Sony protecting their Spider-Man rights, so the way Sony's rights with Spider-Man work is that they have to have a film in production every 5 years. A Spider-Man film every 5 years, or the rights revert back to Marvel. So if this was we're not really doing anything with any of this stuff, but we're also not ready to let it go, so let's just make something cheap and throw it out there and then try to bury it after the fact, then maybe I could kind of understand it. But that's not the case. This is them like, you know, hey, we're building this like Spider-Verse thing, and you know, yeah. look at us.
They're seeing the quasi success of Venom. They're seeing the success of Into the Spider-Verse, the animated.
Right.
They're like, hey, Morbius maybe was just, we just missed the mark. Let's just dive into this multiverse thing head over heels.
So my initial impression is this is not just bad. It's a turd. Like yeah. It's really awful.
Yeah. It's, yeah. So my initial impressions leading up to the watch of this, I did watch several spoiler breakdown reviews. And so I knew a lot of the bad stuff that was coming from it.
Right.
Upon watching, I was like, okay, yep, yep. There were a few moments where I it's been a while since I watched those reviews because it's been out a while now.
Yeah.
But there were a few things that happened where I was just like, oh, I thought that scene played out differently from what
the way I
understood them explaining how bad the scene was, but that's not what happened in the scene at all. So maybe that's just time distorting my memory of the review, which is more than likely because there is no other versions. So yeah, but yeah, it is bad. Like yeah. From like the first three lines of the film were uttered and we paused it and we looked at each other and we were like,
this is already horrible.
This is so bad. Like there's no heart in the delivery of these lines. And no. The lines themselves are written so clunkily.
It's so tacky. All the dialogue is so tacky. And so like,
yeah. And it's
my mother was working in the Amazon researching spiders. Stop touching. You
I'm sitting up. So if I sit up, then the thing's going to move.
We sat here last night, me, Pete, Aaron, and Marshall. And there's at least a good 5 minutes of
tinkering.
There's at least 5 minutes of the podcast that is us shit talking the way you use a microphone. And it was definitely initially brought up by me, but then Pete was like, oh no, he's like, anytime I would like record with him in person, he would like touch it like 15 times and like no one did that last night. It was wonderful.
Oh well,
yeah,
then it's just me.
Yeah, well,
deal with it.
No, I am dealing with it by telling you to knock it the hell off.
Anyway, bad film.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before we dive it, like, yeah, clunky acting, clunky delivery of lines, clunky writing. But it's one of the big things that a lot of times you hear about, like, what makes a good film is the movie will show you something instead of having it told to you through the actors talking about this is how this works.
Assume an intelligent audience.
Yeah. This film tells you all the time. And if it happens to show you, they'll tell it to you again. Right afterward, like almost right afterwards anyway. And it's just like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. It's bad. Okay, so let's start things off by talking about money.
Budget.
Okay. Well, budget, yes, but also
what it brought in.
Box office.
All right.
So I'm just pulling up all of the films that are so far existing in this, we'll call it the Venomverse. So Venom, the first Venom.
Yeah. Okay.
Brought in worldwide $856 million. Wild success. That's a great, like, and people all the day, well, what went wrong? Why didn't it make $1 billion? No. $856 million is an incredible day at the box office. Venom 2 brought in $506 million. So a drop. But it was still a successful movie. Morbius brought in $167 million, which is a big drop. What are you doing? You're looking up the box office now, aren't you?
I'm not looking up box office. I'm looking something else up.
Engage with me. Be part of the conversation here. Morbius brought in $167 million.
I just want to point out, you look up stuff all the time when I'm talking, so...
Yeah, but I still engage with you. I'm not talking to the listener. I'm talking to you. The listener just listens.
Okay, go on.
So Morbius brought in $167 million. So big drop down from the first two Venom films. And I assume that's probably like a bunch of negative word of mouth. Madam Web had a budget of $80 million and worldwide at the box office brought in $98 million.
Wow.
And we've talked about it before, and there will be people who are going, okay, well, you know, at least it made its money back. No, no. This film lost money because that the $80 million is the production budget and doesn't take into account marketing and distribution. And that's just how much did it cost to make the movie? Not to do all the commercials and the posters and the whatever.
Pay your actors to go around promoting it.
Yeah. So this film lost, I'm going to wager, about $100 million. So that...
That's a flop.
That's a flop. And
it's a floppy fish.
It's kind of amazing to me that like... It's kind of amazing to me that it made $98 million. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's me being extra aggressive or extra mean or whatever, but like...
Well, I mean, they hyped it decently hard.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like when something like this hits the theaters that immediately gets negative backlash because reviews start coming out for films before they hit general population, right? Like there's early screenings that get you see reviews for. And my assumption would be that some people just giving it the benefit of the doubt, because a lot of times, I don't know what you call it, corporate reviews are very different, especially for
the superhero
critic reviews. Thank
yeah.
you. Very different from public reviews when yeah. it comes to superhero movies. Rarely are they in sync with each other. Usually one is high and the other is really low. Speaking of, pull up Rotten Tomatoes. What's Rotten Tomatoes say on this? And then since we're on the topic, and then the other part I think is like negative publicity is still publicity. And there are people that are like, oh, if it's that big of a train wreck, I got to see why.
So on Rotten Tomatoes, the audience gave it a score of 57.
Okay.
Which still means that more than half the people who watched it
enjoy it,
thought it was good.
Yeah. What were they smoking?
The critic score is 12. Out of 236 critic reviews, 12%. 236, 12, so 20, just under 30 people of the 236 that watched it thought, oh, no, yeah, not bad.
How many reviews from the non-critic side did you say?
Over 1,000. Over 1,000.
Yeah. That seems small for something that's like a big budget superhero film.
But is it? Is it a superhero film?
That was the question I wanted to pose too. Yeah. Like this has been touted as like a superhero film, but like it doesn't hit any of the superhero.
No.
Like in terms of like, even for a origin story, it's not much of a superhero film, not in what's become a traditional superhero movie.
Most origin films for heroes, whether it be the times that we've seen Batman's parents get killed in the alley or Peter get bit by the spider or Captain America, you know, like whatever it is, their origin films are the actual origin aspect of it is wrapped up
by the end of the first
act. By the end of the first act.
Yeah. They've got their powers. Second act is them learning how to use their powers. Yeah. And the third act is them
facing their first bad guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is quite literally a 2-hour origin story.
Yeah. So 2-hour first act.
And you get visions.
They peg the second and third act into the last 10 minutes of the film.
And you get visions of
maybe 15,
what the spider friends are going to look like 10 years from now.
Be able to do. Yeah.
But that's it. We don't even see them get their powers.
Yeah.
By the end of the film, they don't have their powers.
Essentially, the trailer was this vision, and that's it.
Yeah.
The trailer was...
Because it features them in their costumes in the trailer.
Yeah. Yeah, very heavily.
So my question becomes, like, is there rumblings then? Because future. Sony had reportedly planned for Madam Web to be the first film in a potential new franchise, but following the film's poor critical reception and low opening weekend box office, these plans were reportedly abandoned. The Hollywood Reporter stated that while Sony was willing to take risks with their superhero films, with Madam Web avoiding the typical superhero genre tropes, the studio also wanted home runs, with the executives at Sony said to be in a gloomy mood after the film's poor performance and reception. The report noted that superhero genre had been in a transition period and that the future reception of the franchise could change dependent on the next SSU film, which is the Sony Spider-Man universe, that was then scheduled for release, Kraven the Hunter. Johnson was Dakota, Johnson, who plays Madam Web, was not surprised by the film's reception, and she felt it was unlikely that she would make another superhero film after Madam Web, believing that she did not make sense in that world.
Well, the way she phoned in
here's the thing.
The whole film, man. She just phoned it in.
But like, here's the thing.
Seems like she didn't believe it from day one.
I don't think, because here's the thing. I have seen everybody in this film except for Adam Scott sucked.
Yeah, agreed.
Sucked.
Yeah.
And I don't normally notice, like, I think I'm normally a little colorblind when it comes to shitty acting. I'm like, oh, I don't know. Right. Like, unless it's like really like, you know, when Luke finds out that Vader's his father and he's like, no, that's impossible. Like, it's nobody talks about how that's like a horrible acting moment, but it is. I don't normally,
better than anything we got in this.
I don't normally notice these things. Now, here's my thought. I've seen Dakota Johnson in things and she's great. I've seen Sydney Sweeney in things, including her performance in Euphoria. Sydney Sweeney's great. Sydney Sweeney is one of the, she played like the short skirt, kind of button up shirt.
Like blonde, she did in this one?
Yeah. No, I'm saying in this one, that's who she is. And
you're referring to another film where she was the same.
No. And she's great. Like, she is one of the hottest rising stars in Hollywood right now. Sydney Sweeney's a big name. And she's great. And none of them are good in this. But nobody's good in this. The villain's not good in this. Like, everybody has the same kind of phoning it in, satire, parody kind of acting style. Yeah. And
it's very dry.
And that, to me,
no, not a lot of emotion.
Points a lot of fingers at who is it on a film set?
Was the director
that is responsible for getting a good performance out of their actors? It's the director.
Yeah,
and so not that none of the actors are at all to blame for it. Maybe they are. Maybe they're not. I don't know. But I think this S.J. Clarkson that directed this, her first film, by the way.
Yeah, she's done TV series.
She's done TV.
She's done superhero stuff. Like, she did 2 episodes of Defenders and she did 2 episodes in Jessica Jones.
Right, because which Defenders was highly regarded.
The Defenders was. Defenders was good.
Was it?
Yeah. Defenders was
good. But she did Orange is the New Black and she did, like, she's done
a lot of TV.
But it's just a different medium altogether. Right. And you expect more out of believability out of your line performance from actors in film. And so So we could go through the cast here, but, you know,
I don't think there's any point.
It's going to kind of be Dakota Johnson. Yeah, she wasn't very good. Sydney Sweeney, wasn't very good. Celeste O'Connor, wasn't very good. Right? Mike Epps, Tahar Rahim, who played Ezekiel Sims, he was awful. Truly awful. But here's the thing, right? Then you turn around and you look at, like, well, what else has this guy been in? And he's in Napoleon, the new Napoleon film, which apparently also is not very good. So I don't know. Maybe he just can't act. But you look at Dakota Johnson, right? Who, her stuff stuck out as being the worst because
she was on the screen.
Yeah.
She's the leading lady.
She was the leading lady in the 50 Shades of Grey franchise, which a lot of people don't like for different reasons, but I don't think she's bad in it. She was in a movie she's really good in, is the Vanessa Hudgens film Beastly. Do you ever watch Beastly?
I don't know.
It was like a modern day take on Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm going to stick it on the list if you haven't seen it. But she's in The Social Network. She's in 21 Jump Street. She's in, like, Dakota Johnson is great.
Yeah.
But just not in this. And I think a lot of that blame has got to come back to the director. I don't see how coincidentally everybody in this film could be bad and it's just all of their faults.
Yeah.
People who are normally not this bad.
And like we mentioned that Adam Scott was kind of the standout.
Yeah.
But even some of his performances felt a little lackluster.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of them, and I had to pause it, one of them, it seemed like he was I said to you, like, this is probably scripted.
Yeah.
But the way he's delivering it feels like a dig at the writing of the film.
Right. And even Celeste O'Connor, who's in this, who played Maddie Franklin, right? The Afro.
Oh, yep. Okay.
She played Lucky in the ghost. She's in the, like, the new Ghostbusters franchise. Oh, she's like the love interest of Will Finhard.
Right.
And she's great in that. So yeah, it's just messy. I don't know, man. I don't know where to go from here. It's just bad. It's a lot of ridiculous, like, you know, okay, where my mom was in the Amazon researching spiders, and then she was saved by spider people who are bitten by spiders and have these, like, veins or vines all over them. That
they wear red paint, like, body paint, and wear black vines that make it look like spider webs.
That even have the, I don't know if you noticed, but the vines created the iconic.
Their feet, had vines wrapped around their head too.
No, but it created the iconic Spider-Man eye shapes.
Yeah.
And so there was that, and then there's the fact that the villain, who obviously the villain's costume was supposed to emulate the Amazonian spider people's. But that's just a Spider-Man costume. It's
literally a Spider-Man costume.
And then the fact that Spider-Woman, you have two Spider-Womans in this. You have from the comics, you have the second Spider-Woman and the third Spider-Woman. And then you have Spider-Girl. Those are the names of the three, those are the characters that the three girls in this turn into. And obviously you have Madame Web. Little weird that they happen to be around when Peter Parker's born, right? Like, there's just a bunch of stuff. Like,
movie throughout almost the whole thing, they did everything they could to make you go, Spider-Man. Yeah. This is Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Spider-Man, 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 without actually saying it.
Yeah.
Like, again, we paused the movie several times to make fun of it. There was one point I paused it and I kind of said that to you, but I also kind of, like, got on top of you and pretended I was pushing something into your mouth. And I was like, that's what this movie is doing. It's pushing Spider-Man down your throat without actually giving you
sentence.
Whatever. But that's what this movie's doing.
It is 100%. But here's the weird thing about it now is, like, we have, you know, we've talked a bunch and everyone's speculated and everyone's wondered, and it's like, well, how do you, like, is Sony just going to spend the rest of forever pussyfooting around the character of Spider-Man, like
because they've got a deal right now.
Because they don't want to, blah, blah, blah.
They don't want to retcon Spider-Man because they've already got this one that MCU set well. Up nicely.
Yeah, and so, but here's the thing: it's like now, obviously, this like if Madame Web, my understanding is that this takes place in the same universe as like Venom and as Morbius and stuff like that. Why would it not?
Yeah,
then. Obviously, like there is a Peter Parker. We've seen Spider-Man now. We've seen Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Right? As
little,
a baby.
Little baby. This is kind of like a prequel to all the other mm-hmm. Sony verse stuff that we've seen, Morbius and Venom. And
yeah. Now,
soon Kraven.
We batted around the idea for a while or some there was theories of like, well, what if this was because when just the first two Venom films were out, you could make a reasonable argument that this is, even though at this point we didn't realize it, that this is the Andrew Garfield verse. And yeah. and you could sort of bring Andrew Garfield back and you could do it. Obviously, that's no longer the case, yeah. right? That's not the case because now we saw Andrew's parents, Andrew Parker, or Andrew's Peter Parker's parents, and now we've seen young Mary Parker and stuff. And so we know that's not, it doesn't,
yeah.
It doesn't work. It doesn't line up. If they were to ever, you know, if the deal, let's say Sony's just biding their time right now, waiting for, you know, things to finish over at the MCU. Maybe they're, you know, they're assuming or they're aware that at some point it will, and they want to establish, you know, air quotes, a pretty sick Spider-Man universe that they can just take and then plop a Peter Parker into,
right.
whether they bring the Tom Holland one over through some sort of multiversal bullshit, or they, you know, they do whatever. Because there's no reason, really, aside from, like, continuity and it wouldn't make any sense, but, like, we haven't seen anything with the origin story. Like, that could be Tom Holland's origin.
It could be
100%, right? Yeah. Timelines work out everything, and but regardless of whether it's the Tom Holland one or it's a brand new one, assuming that you know they plan on plopping Spider-Man into this at some point, they've set up kind of a weird, like, there's just some weird stuff, right? Because we're used to seeing Spider-Man, and in some ways, it feels a little bit more comic booky in this sense, even though Madame Web's powers in this, some of them were out to lunch and stuff like that. But it makes sense that you have these characters. There are characters that have Peter's powers that are older than Peter and have some of them potentially been around longer than Peter. And then Peter gets radioactive spider. Well, the radioactive spiders have been around since before Peter. Well,
they're not even radioactive spiders. They're just spiders with special spiders. Venom.
Yeah. And so it all that kind of works, but we're just as filmgoers, we're used to seeing a perfectly normal kid in a perfectly normal world where nothing super unusual is going on. And he's really unique in the fact that he has these spider abilities and whatever. Whereas now, if you bring Spider-Man in, it's kind of like
it's just another fish in the sea of fish.
Another person that has spider powers. Yeah. Like, you know.
Yeah. This film seems like, and you've kind of said it. It seems like, you know, Sony doesn't want to screw up what Marvel's been doing with Spider-Man because they feel like they can utilize that somehow in their Spider-Verse. Instead of screwing that up, they're like, oh, well, we still want to do spider stuff. So let's introduce these other spider characters.
Yeah.
All at once.
Well, we talked about this, right?
Let's introduce, and I've said this to people when talking about superhero films.
Yeah.
I don't know if I said it on the podcast, but it's always a bad idea to introduce more than probably two new heroes to your roster in as a full-blown origin for, like, you've got, And we really only got an origin here for Madame Web, but at the same time, it's also an origin for these three girls almost. They don't have their powers at the end.
Yeah.
But you're like, you're trying to do, you've only got 2 hours to make a film.
Yeah.
And you've got to do character development for your villain. Mm-hmm. You got to do character development for your hero, especially if they've never seen the screen before.
Right? Really didn't do with either.
And the minute you start introducing more heroes or villains,
it subtracts from
your ability to generate a compelling characters or villains because there's only so much time on the screen.
Yeah.
And like this film kind of did that a little bit because you're now throwing these three other people into it and you've got to build and write story around them as well. So, yeah. Ah, man. But anyway, I think my point is, yeah, Sony's trying to make something without Spider-Man.
Because they have to.
Well, they don't have to, though.
No, they do.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
Multiverse.
No, it doesn't matter.
We're already accepting a multiverse.
No,
multiverse.
It's not us. They're not worried about the fans. I'm telling you right now, the deal they have going on with Marvel, right, is making them money.
Right.
Is making them money.
Sure.
Marvel's making great Spider-Man films, and Sony's just sitting there and collecting bank for it. There's no multiverse out there where Kevin Feige, even though Sony has the rights, Sony could make their own Spider-Man, they could introduce a new Spider-Man and try to run it alongside with what's going on in the MCU, it'd be multiversal, whatever. No way Kevin Feige would go along with that. Kevin Feige in a heartbeat would be like, okay, fine. Then
they stop using Spider-Man.
And then the deal's done and you're going to stop making money off of what we're doing.
But here's the thing. If I'm Sony, I'm like, but I have the rights. You don't. And you've already done a lot to keep Spider-Man going. Fine. Instead of making Madame Web of all things, like you're taking.
Oh, for sure.
You're like, if you like, class from like A, B, C, D, A being premier superhero down, like if you class the heroes of this film, they're C tier at best.
For sure. But
So if I'm Sony, I'm like, I'm trying to build something here too.
But why?
Venom's working.
Is it?
I think Venom's working.
There was a $300 million drop in box office between the first and second one.
You make a Spider-Man film. You don't make it an origin the way that they had Sony's traditionally done in terms of creating a new one. You follow Marvel's lead where he's already got the powers. He's already kind of boots on the ground and you tie up, you leave Venom the post credit scenes for Venom 3 is Eddie Brock flipping through the paper and kind of almost mirroring that Marvel, which one was it? Doctor Strange that had Venom in it? Eddie Brock? I think it was. Yeah, it was Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness. He got pulled through. Yeah, it was.
Oh, he got pulled through in that. Bar. And then he's sent back at the end.
But he sees Spider-Man on the TV.
Yeah.
And he's like, who's that? And Venom's like really intrigued.
Yeah.
So you get end of Venom 3, Eddie Brock flipping through the paper, sees a Daily Bugle, sees Spider-Man. And it's like, whoa, crap, he's here. But he's like in a beginner half made suit kind of thing. I think that would be way cooler to tee up a Spider-Man. I don't know if you make Spider-Man your first villain, but like, man, I'm not on board with these C-list superhero films, I guess.
I still just don't know why. Like Sony, here's the thing. Sony right now, like the deal with Marvel, and people are going to disagree with this, but you can look at the number. Like this is not me being like, oh, guess what I think. No, this is like, do the research for yourself. The Sony Marvel Spider-Man deal really benefits Sony.
Yeah. They don't have to do a lot of work. They get a lot of money.
There's almost no benefit to Marvel. That is a deal that is so heavily skewed in Sony's favor. So heavily. The MCU, Kevin Feige, right? Kevin Feige has, at this point, now, especially now, every other Marvel character. At the end of the day, as grateful that we are that we got the Tom Holland Spider-Man and that we got the Spider-Verse film and or the No Way Home film and stuff like that, right?
Right.
The MCU, Kevin Feige never has and still doesn't need Spider-Man. He doesn't.
No.
He doesn't need it. Sony, on the other hand, the last Spider-Man film that Sony put out was The Amazing Spider-Man 2, and that sucked. It was garbage, right? There's a couple really great moments in it, but it's not a good film. And so, and the last two Spider-Verse films...
Yeah, but they're not...
That Sony has put out...
The last two were not Spider-Man. They were Spider-Man. It's like, let's focus on a B-tier villain and C-tier heroes.
Why are you smacking the table?
I'm a hand talker, and you're going to have to get used to it.
No, it's like, it's actually, the podcast is not going to continue to work if you keep hitting the table. Like, you're going to have to buy a strip of memory foam that you can come in and put down.
Probably.
Like the thick mattress foam.
It'll probably still vibrate through.
Yeah, well, but it'll be better than nothing. But here's the thing. But it doesn't matter, right? Because, like, we're not talking about the fact that these films didn't make a lot of money. We're talking about the fact that these films sucked. And with a character as cool as Morbius and an actor, an Academy Award-winning actor like Jared Leto, you should be able to produce a good film, even if it doesn't have the massive box office draw that Spider-Man himself is going to have. You don't need that. You have another studio that's doing that for you, and you're just collecting a payday. I don't understand at this point why Sony is bothering with Madam Web. I don't understand why they're bothering with Morbius. I don't understand why they're bothering with Kraven the Hunter. You have these Venom films. These Venom films are working, and you only need to produce a Spider-Man film every 5 years in order to retain the rights. So just every 4 years or whatever, 3.5 years, put out another Venom film and just stick with that. And then just wait, because that's the other Sony, right? You want to talk about, like, oh, well, you know, but Sony's going to want to cash in on... Sony has, if you look at their highest grossing films or even the franchises that Sony has under their belt, right? They have the Hotel Transylvania franchise. They have Ghostbusters. They're doing Ghostbusters right now, right? Like, they're big up on all that. They still own the Rambo stuff. Sony still owns Men in Black. They own Bad Boys. There's a Bad Boys film coming out. They own the Jumanji series, which, even though I'm not into them anymore, has seen a big resurgence. Sony still owns Terminator. There's so many things that they could be focusing their time. They're not like, well, if we're not making Spider-Man films, we're not making money, right? I just don't know why. It's owning the Spider-Man. I don't understand why Sony would want, as long as this deal is still going on at Marvel, I don't know why Sony would want to make a Spider-Man film.
With an actual Spider-Man.
Yeah, because they just
not a run Spider-Man adjacent.
Because they just run the risk of screwing it up.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas if you put it in the hands of Disney and Marvel, who have made three great Spider-Man films now, they're going to do all the work, and you're going to sit there and you're going to collect the paycheck. That's what those rights are worth to you. And they're worth far more to you, because you know what you're not doing? Funding a film. It's all bankroll for Sony. They're not taking up studio space. They're not worrying about, you know, friggin' craft services and porta potty trucks. And like, it's just a payday for them at this point. And I don't know why you wouldn't, because here's the other thing too. As soon as that deal ends, it is going to, because people now have gotten used to the idea of a Spider-Man in the MCU. They've gotten used to the idea of seeing Spider-Man interact with the Hulk or seeing him interact with whoever and make those fun little Avenger team quips and stuff like that. And regardless of how good of a Spider-Man film that Sony makes once that deal's done, it's going to take a little bit of time for people to be like, okay, yeah, like we're back to just a lonely Spider-Man.
What you're saying makes sense. And that's probably exactly why they're not, even though they're cramming Spider-Man down our throat in films like Madam Web without even saying the words Spider-Man or Peter Parker.
And keep making the Spider-Verse, the Spider-Verse things, the Miles Morales things, those are great. Do that and do your Venom films and call it a day.
But those wells will run dry unless you diversify that portfolio. You can't keep making a Venom who's a Spider-Man property, who's like yin to yang is Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And not ever have the two interact.
But they have. They've done it with three films, two films. We don't know about the third one, but they've done it with two films now.
Yeah, and it's frustrating.
Is it, though?
It's a little frustrating. I liked Venom 1 and 2.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with 3. But I want to see Venom and Spider-Man
when you went to the theater and you watched Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker, did you sit there and go, did you walk out and go, that would have been 10 times better if it had Batman in it? No, because you don't. If you do it and you do it well and it's a good character driven story, then you don't actually need it.
I will say it worked for Joker as an origin story. How that's going to work in the next one, I don't know.
Well, I don't know either. And that's why they never planned on making a second one.
Which is what I'm saying,
yeah.
Right? Like, we're three Venoms in, and aside from a MCU film that's not a Sony film saying Venom and Spider-Man, there's a thing there.
So I'll do you one better then. So then this is what Sony should be doing. They should be making their animated stuff that they're making, right? Because that's working. Because that's been great. And even if the Miles Morales well runs dry, you do other things with it. You do a Spider-Gwen series. You do like whatever. And then instead of in your live action universe, instead of trying to freaking build something, right? Instead of trying to ooh, we're laying the foundation and we might be laying this foundation. We might be stretching out this foundation for another 10 years because we don't know. We don't know how long this Marvel deal is going to continue to run, which means they're setting up a shit foundation and doing more damage than good. What you do is instead of trying to weave all this together, just start making Jokers. Start making, give us a standalone, not connected to Spider-Man, not connected to anything else. Give us a standalone Mysterio story.
But we've gotten that.
Morbius.
Morbius, thank you.
But that's connected to the Venomverse. And stupidly brought Michael Keaton from No Way Home in, and that made no sense. Yeah, even Michael Keaton was like, I don't know.
I haven't watched Morbius because I heard it was hot trash and I decided not to waste my time. I got roped into watching this one, even though it's hot trash because of the podcast. Like, how on the nose is it, or do they connect it to the Venomverse?
Oh, very.
Like,
very.
Very, very. Like,
does
Venom show up?
I don't want to misspeak.
Aside from like some newspapers and stuff like that, like, does he show up?
I don't want to misspeak because it's been a minute since I've seen it, but I am fairly
certain. Post credits doesn't count.
The answer is, I don't think he does.
Yeah, because Morbius is the quote unquote hero, anti-hero of that film, even though he's a villain.
Yeah.
And they're doing the same thing with Kraven. Like, I don't think they're, I haven't seen it, but I doubt he's, if he's in there, it's a very,
yeah, but
very, it's connected kind of member berry,
but it's still different because they're doing them. What I'm saying is like, don't do them as, cause
you're
cause
saying
they're doing
make them completely standalone.
Yes. And completely standalone. Like you do a Morbius film and then you do a Mysterio film and they're not even connected to each other. They don't exist in the same universe. I don't know. And then stop doing them as, stop doing them like, don't try to make it feel like a superhero film because at the end of the day, the superhero that goes with those characters, you don't have in the film.
Yeah.
And so
that's one of the reasons Joker worked really well.
Right. Do it as like a character study.
Here's the thing. It worked really well for Joker because Joker's a pretty messed up character to do character study on. Mm-hmm. And although in comics, a lot of these characters do have some depth you could do some character studies on, they're not all that deep. You know what I mean? Like Rhino, there's not, you couldn't do a Rhino standalone.
You could do a Goblin film. Easily.
I'm not interested in it, honestly. Like I want to see a superhero film. I don't want to see a villain standalone.
Right.
I don't care. I don't care about the villain as the main character.
Right.
I care about the villain as the antagonist, the unrelenting force that the hero has to learn how to overcome.
So that, but then
heroes are interesting.
Agreed. To me. I agree. So then
villains are only interesting when met with the hero.
So, but then we're back to my original point, which is that Sony should just stop trying to, you know, do the bare minimum that you need to do in order to retain the rights so that Marvel continues to make these Spider-Man films for you. Because if you try to make a Spider-Man film while that's happening, Kevin Feige is going to say, no, I'm not going to make Spider-Man films that make you money while you're making competing Spider-Man films.
I agree with you. Kevin Feige wouldn't be that. I disagree that their best move would be to let, they would take on more risk on their own, but I think they should go on their own.
So they should end the deal.
Sam Raimi's Spider-Verse was great until
the third one.
Until the third one, where his creative control was usurped. He didn't want to do Venom. Venom was forced on him.
Right. But it, okay. Okay. Hang on. Like, so now we're getting down a rabbit hole because here's the thing.
You think that the first Andrew Garfield Spider-Man is great. You think it was a good one?
Film itself. I think Andrew Garfield is a great Spider-Man. Okay. The films both have issues. Here's the thing. This was explained really well in a video I was watching the other day. Okay. First of all, some of the greatest comic book films that we talk all the time about how, for the most part, with the exception of one or two films, like the first three phases of Marvel are pretty spot on, right? Like they're pretty great.
There's not a lot of missteps. And even the missteps aren't horrible.
There is almost no studio out there that interferes more with their creatives than Marvel. And has been the case since day one. You can look it up. You can watch interviews. You can hear about the directors that are in. That's why a lot of Marvel directors or a lot of directors don't want to do Marvel films because they know how tied their hands are going to be to the greater story, right? And so that's number one. Number two is, Sam Raimi didn't want to use Venom. But Joss Whedon didn't want to use Scarlett Johansson didn't want to use Black Widow in the first Avengers film. She had no plan for that. The first version of Avengers, one of the greatest comic book films of all time, that was handed in, the first version of that script was very WASP heavy. And the studio was like, no, we don't want Wasp. We want you to use this. And he still turned out one of the greatest comic book films that certainly that we'd gotten up until that point. Now, yes, he didn't want to use Venom, but that shouldn't matter. Because as a good director, you should be able to take those pieces and still put out a great film. And the example that was used in the video I watched is, because you have to remember, at the end of the day, Spider-Man, unless you're George Lucas or you're whoever, if you're funding your own film, if you're a director who's mortgaged your house and you're paying out of pocket to put this passion project out, then that is your film. Spider-Man 3 was not Sam Raimi's film. It's not. That's Sony's film. That is Sony's film. And the example that was given was, let's say you, Carl, work as a home design, like an interior decorator, right? That's you, that's your business, that's whatever. And I own a home. I'm the studio in this scenario, and you're the director. You're the creative. You're the one with the vision. But I own the home, right? And you come into my house and you're like, okay, these are the plans, and I'm thinking we're going to do your bedroom in a dark red, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and it's going to be great. And this is my vision, right? And I go, okay, yep, I'm on board with most of that. Most of that sounds great, except I don't like red, so we're not going to do red in the bedroom. You bet your ass we're not going to do goddamn red in the bedroom then, because it's my house. You are a hired creative, yes? You're hired to come in with a vision and take what I have, take what I want, and combine that with your vision to make something incredible for me. Because it's my money, it's my house, I'm the one that deals with the consequences if the film sucks, right? I'm the one that the director gets paid either way. Sam Raimi got paid for Spider-Man 3. Doesn't make a difference that the film sucked, right? The people who take a hit, whoever directed Madam Web, part of the reason why Sony lost so much money on this film is because they weren't able to say to the director, hey, the film sucked, we're not going to pay you. Right. So, yeah, I agree. But I also a lot of people take the stance that studio interference is a bad thing in film. And that's just simply not true. It can be. It can be. But there's a lot of situations where the studio came in and made changes or did whatever, and it bettered the film. And at the end of the day, it's the studio's right to do that.
Okay.
Directors take too much ownership over something that isn't theirs.
A lot of what you're saying is true. But then you look at something like Madam Web.
Yep.
And it's a travesty.
Yeah.
We can't pin that all on the director then.
I don't know anything about the extent of studio interference in Madam Web. Do you?
Neither do I. But like, if the studio says this is the script.
Sure.
And you've got to work with it. Well, then that's her script.
But we don't know that that's what happened.
On top of, no, we don't. This is more hypothetical conversation at this point. Right. Now, like you said, the director's got to make work with what they got.
Yeah.
But if you're given a pile of shit and you're told to make gold,
then walk. Then leave the film.
That. So
go direct something else.
Jumping to Sam Raimi, right? From what I understand of that situation, it's been a long time since I looked at anything related to that situation. But from what I understand, his film centered more around Sandman and that storyline. And the studio told him, from what I understand, to add in
Venom.
Venom.
Yeah, they wanted him to use Venom.
And I've already talked about how, you know, like you've already you got to do character development for Venom, and you got to do character development for continue character development for your other characters. Now you got to throw Venom in there. He's got to somehow write, if he's helping with the writing, which I think he did. I don't know. But even if it's the writers who are doing it, somehow you got to work a new character into a script that never had it to begin with. You're asking for trouble.
But here's the thing though, right? Sony can come in and say, and again, I don't know, we don't know, but Sony could come in and say, hey, we're happy with everything except you got to use Venom. You got to put Venom in there, right? That doesn't mean that Sony's the one that says, and cast it poorly with Topher Grace and make the shit, right? Like, there was still missteps taken. Like, yes, Sony said you have to use Venom, but then Sam Raimi turned around and mishandled Venom.
Well, he's handling a character he didn't want to handle because he didn't like him. Because he didn't like him, probably didn't know a lot about him.
Okay.
So he's got to do his homework. Sure. Agreed, right, to handle that properly. But at the same time... And this is what you said earlier. I think he probably should have done is he should have walked, right?
Either do your homework or walk.
But like,
because we get into dangerous territory again. It wasn't his film, and so Sam Raimi was just at work. And we get into really dangerous territory if we start going, well, Sam Raimi went to work. And he shouldn't have had to do that thing that he didn't want to do. Dude, the amount of shit I do at work that I don't want to do, man up.
Yeah.
Well, do it.
You
don't have to agree with how things are run.
I have a hard time agreeing with that, this premise, because I guess I'm kind of riding the fence on the idea. Because the studio has a right to say what they want and what they don't want.
Yeah.
The creatives should be given license to do what they think is best. But then at the same time, you could end up with giving your creatives too much
control
and you end up with something like Thor 3.
Yeah.
Right. Where Taika Waititi kind of leans real heavy into the goofballness from Thor 2. And you end up with something that's just a mess.
Or and again, I don't take as much issue with them as a lot of other people do, but the prequels. All of a sudden, nobody was questioning George Lucas. George, you want to do this? Go for it.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and I think that's even like another thing, because that's like George Lucas is personally funding all that stuff. It's his house, using your analogy.
But not by the prequels. By that point,
the prequels were his. Everything was.
Yeah, but he wasn't funding them. He wasn't mortgaging his house to.
It was his studio.
Fox, 20th Century Fox.
He still had all creative rights.
Yes, but they were still being made through Fox.
But it was still all he had all the creative rights, because that was a thing he gave up when to make number two.
Right.
Right. Like this is a package deal that he signed with Fox. Decades ago when he was making not two, I guess technically five, episode five. But that I think that one's a little different because he surrounded himself with yes men and personally directed it, where all the previous ones, he was the creative mind and had
a creative director. A New Hope. He directed Star Wars.
Yeah, the original. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the rest, even that one, he had co-directors, right? He had people beside him kind of helping him craft it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, we're a little way off.
Anyways, base
from the Madam Web conversation.
On a scale of 0 to 10, what did you think of Madam Web?
Oh man, this was like a 1. I felt like I was being force fed something I didn't want or need.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sony wants to make a Spider-Man film. But they don't want to make a Spider-Man film. That's all this is.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's hot trash. Mm-hmm. Steamy, stinky. It's a hot poopy diaper.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
What do you think?
I'm going to give it a 2. And the reason I'm going to go a little bit higher is, listen, there wasn't a lot of action in this movie, but when there was, it was kind of fun. And there was a couple of moments throughout the film where I would turn and look at you and I would go, that was cool. And you go, yep, yep, that was cool. Right? So there are few and far between.
Like, I wouldn't say the whole scene was cool. I would say the moment in the scene is
100%.
Cool.
100%. But yeah, I don't know. It's just, it is what it is. Also, at some point, I've found a list here in an upcoming episode with Carl and I. I have a list of 40 movies actually made better by studio interference. and one of the ones on this list is Army of Darkness.
Oh, yeah.
So there you go.
Interesting.
Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you check out our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all listed down below. Check out our Patreon page, where as little as a dollar a month, you can support the show and help buy Carl some memory foam for the table. I'm serious. You got to get... You're actually a dick. Like, you know what? I'm going to teach you how to edit the podcast. and then you're going to sit and edit one. And it's not going to get posted until I give it the thumbs up. And I'll be like, nope, sorry, try again. Nope, sorry, try again. No, that's actually not quite up to the standards that I normally do it. Sorry, try again. And then you're going to come in here.
That dick teacher you're
gonna
in high
come,
school.
You're going to come in here with Crocs and like padded stuff duct taped around your hands.
bubble wraps.
And you're going to be like, dude, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And we have merch.
Yeah. We need some merch on the walls in here or something.
We do.
Get some stickers.
You're not putting stickers on my walls. Why stickers? That's going to be covered in foam.
Cover this hole right here.
Those are going to be covered in foam.
Cover the thing on the foam with the sticker.
No, you don't put stickers on foam. Then the foam doesn't work. Goodbye.